Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, folks. Hope you had a great weekend. French Quarter Fest starting this weekend. Really looking forward to it. Cannot wait for it to happen. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, will join us. We'll talk about tariffs and their impact. We know a little bit about what's going on, right? If you're reading the news, we'll try and dig a little deeper to let you know how this plays out ultimately. We'll talk about mortgage refinancing opportunities and Real ID. What's up with that? There have been a number of deadlines that have been extended. If you have upcoming airline travel, you definitely want to listen to the latest there. At 11:30, Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group, they've issued a new report. We're talking about whether or not we are in information overload, the state of the media in 2025. Where is this going, and what is the public's confidence in what they are hearing the media providing? At the top of the 11 o'clock hour, Dr. William Wainwright, the president of Southeastern University, will join us and talk about Southeastern, the state of the state of Southeastern, some of their recent successes in higher education and what that means to their area as well. Adam Tyner, PhD, National Research Director at the Fordham Institute. For a long time, there was this mindset out there that if we expanded our broadband technology, right, and we provided internet access to everyone, that it would and was critical for equalizing educational opportunities. Well, Fordham conducted a study on whether or not that premise is actually true. And we'll dig into some of the preliminary findings of that study, and I think you're going to be really surprised by what you hear. You probably won't be surprised about the most recent BGR report. In fact, we're going to try and get BGR on this week to talk about it, but I thought it was important enough to kind of cover a few of the observations here, a number of which we've talked about on this show a number of times. How many times did we hear that if we did this, we did that, we provided this, we provided that, it was not a problem? It was not a function of money. The money was flowing in, not a big issue. We just had to be able to execute on these contracts and get us from point A to point B, and it would not be a problem. And during the course of these types of conversations that were being had, every now and then there was an anecdotal slip-up that revealed itself. And we learned that they misaccounted for this money, misaccounted for that, accounting error here, lack of information being provided there, decisions being made based on the wrong information. And then we find out, as pointed out by BGR, the title of their report, April 2025, After the Windfall, Strengthening the City of New Orleans Financial Management Practices. Well, that would assume that they have financial management practices. One is beginning to wonder what it is that they're doing. We're embroiled in a lawsuit now relative to the education system, the school board, not having the information necessary, not really chasing the information either, to try and establish a budget that made sense based on revenue projections. Those get all messed up. We hastily try to resolve potential lawsuit being filed by the school board against the city based on a financial practice that no one seems to know where they got the authority to do this. The city just did it. I guess they needed money, so they started charging a percentage of what they collected in ad valorem taxes before they sent those dollars over to the school board. They just decided, man, this would be a smart thing for us to do. So they did it. So they've been embroiled in a disagreement about this, and now there's a lawsuit, and the attempt to pay them was to satisfy that issue. Seemed to make sense. They need the money now. Now they're caught betwixt and between. They're hitting their reserves. All of that's a problem. Now the city finds himself in the same place because of their spending habits, right? They're trying to be all things to all people. They're not prioritizing their spend at all. They never have. They really believe that they can engage in all of these social programs and take care of culture bearers and this and that and everybody else because the money is just free-flowing, the printing presses are printing, and all's good. Meanwhile, we can't fill a pothole. We can't get traffic lights repaired. The sewage and water board is a mess, better than it's ever been in the last two decades, but a mess still, and still upside down financially. One day a week garbage pickup. We have illegal dumping going on all over the city. We're trying different programs, many of which are going to require a financial spend to get to where they're going to be. Certainly a second pickup would, right? And here we find ourselves now with these findings where we're dipping into reserves. And we'll get to that in a minute because that is going to be a bigger problem than most people recognize. And I just kind of went through the BGR report that covers over 30 pages, and I didn't see this mentioned, but I think it's going to be a big issue. More on that later. But here we are. And the big problem that I have at this point in time is I don't know who is telling the truth any longer. Or if this is just very circular, where this news just keeps going round and round and we believe it and we're spending money, we're engaging in this, we're doing that. It's all good. You know, we've had one of the best years in a long time, a big events coming to the city, talking about sales tax generation. Where are we on the collection of that? We never get any reports out of the city. It's a big guessing game. We knew exactly where we stood in Jefferson Parish. 10 days after the following month, we were compelled to send reports to all the tax recipient bodies. So they knew exactly where they were standing on a monthly basis. We knew where we were to budget on a monthly basis. These people don't seem to be able to do this. They find out that NOPD has been overspending money for their staffing issues. Why now? Why does it take so long? You know what the expense is every month. Are any of these systems connected to one another that will generate financial statements that we can see where we are? It's going to be interesting to find out And I really wish somebody would dig deep into this to find out technologically, where are we as it relates to a financial management system? How does it work? How do we do this? I know for a long time, tax payments used to sit in bags in the hallways of City Hall, taking weeks and months on end to process. I recall back in the Morial administration, Mark Morial administration, where we collected taxes for them from the airport. We would send the checks to them, call them, and alert them, sometimes hand-delivering the check for them to process the check. Why? Because we had this open check on our check register for years on end that was never negotiated by the city of New Orleans. And we did not like to be written up in the audit with this issue unresolved. Auditors were putting pressure on us to send it to the treasurer's office so that we could move it off of our books. So I speak with firsthand knowledge about the inability of this organization to be able to process funds, to be able to process sales tax payments and alike. And we need to know exactly where this organization is at this point in time. Because it seems to me that the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. And we're never going to get out of this financial morass if we don't have a clear picture of where we stand every day amongst the 365 days that make up a year. Plain and simple. I don't know how you make decisions. Short term, mid term, long term. You can't if you don't know where you stand financially. How do you decide what the priorities are? If a project costs blank millions of dollars and you don't have the dollars to do that, it may be a high priority item. And unless you can do this over time and finance it over time, then where does that fall on the priority list? Well, it would typically fall down because you're not able to achieve it because of the financial situation that you find yourself in, unless you're going to float a bond issue or otherwise, or some other long-term debt instrument. You cannot legitimately sit down and plan where this city's going to be at any given moment if you do not have reliable, current, valid information. This is embarrassing. Of course, the leader of the organization is more concerned and, in fact, even willing to go to the lengths of filing a lawsuit now in order to preserve her right to travel. Why don't you travel to the CFO's office, get a first-class ticket to that office and sit down and conduct a two-week symposium amongst the players there so you can figure out where we are financially? I think there would be a lot of people that would contribute to that endeavor in getting you that first-class ticket to the CFO's office. Or maybe with a consultant that can tell us how to train or provide training for folks that we can provide this information. This is a joke. Continues to be a joke, continues to be embarrassing. But more than anything else, your inability to account for these dollars in a reasonable time period, I won't even say rapid, but it should be rapid. It's incumbent upon you to do so at a rapid pace, quite frankly, is fertile ground for fraud and abuse. Because you don't clearly know what's going on. How do you figure out trends? You have faulty data. You have faulty collection points. Your WIPs, your works and processes, I got to imagine, are cuckoo out of control. Because typically that's what you find when you go in. You try and figure out why can't you project anything. So let's go back to dipping into our reserves. The Government Finance Officers Association sets some points relative to a lot of financial data that where you should be. Like how many days, how many months of expenses you should have in reserve. It's always been in a little bit of a debate. Should it be two? Should it be three? You know, for a long time it was three. I'm not sure where it is now. I have been separated for 7 or 8 years where I was on top of this each and every day. Our goal was to always have three plus. And the reason we wanted three plus is that in the event of a storm, and I was a firm believer in this, if you don't control it, it ain't going to happen. Well, one way to get to control is that you have the money to purchase the services needed or the equipment needed or rentals or otherwise to deal with the issues at hand real time. Pre-staging, for example, an evacuation plan within the parish, 7 days of supply on hand, the equipment necessary in order to address flooded streets, flooded situations, power outages, blocked streets with trees, vegetative debris, the whole nine yards. And I was only responsible for a very small part of it. So you had the pressure of where you needed to be on a cash basis. We didn't want to borrow money to make payroll. We used to do that, and that was one of the goals when I became CFO, was to get away from that practice. To have the reserves necessary, the working capital necessary to make it through the year on a cash basis. We did so. It's recommended by the GFOA. And to have those dollars available over and above that to be able to deal with storms. A lot of people used to say a lot of nice things about the way that we dealt with storms. And quite frankly, it was just due to incredible people taking the time necessary to plan things out, but more importantly, to make sure that we had the dollars on hand to execute, to pay our people. If it even went, it meant we having to go to a manual system. But we back this information up all over the place now to make sure that we can get our people paid that are showing up for work trying to reconstitute this area. This is a big flaw here when you start dipping into these reserves and you don't have 2 months of expenses in reserve. And let me tell you why it's even worse today. Right now, we are in uncharted waters as it relates to FEMA. FEMA's in the process of being redesigned. That may be good, may be bad. I don't know. I will reserve judgment. There is a move afoot to move FEMA, its funding that is, to the states and have the states control that. My initial reaction to that would be, it would probably be better. Of course, it all depends on the quality of the leadership at the state level. Historically, we've had very sound leadership. I would venture to say we have sound leadership today as it relates to responding to natural disasters like hurricanes. But there is an uncertainty out there that begs of making sure you have the capabilities to be able to respond to these challenges real time. And the moment in time that you start dipping into these reserves and you don't have the 2 months operating expenses plus, you are less than. And you know what? You're not going to be able to adequately respond. And then we'll find ourselves in a situation that we can't get out of our own way. This is a byproduct of the lack of leadership, the lack of understanding the basic principles and things that you should be delivering to the taxpayers each and every day. So book that first class ticket to the CFO's office and let's get with it. Let's get it done. Let's gain a better understanding in the last months of your administration as to exactly where we are financially. And I know you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the next mayor. And you want to know something, Mayor Cantrell? That's more important than any climate change conference that you will ever attend in the history of the world. And make sure that you are fulfilling your fiduciary obligation where you have failed repeatedly over and over and over again. Why don't you focus on that for the last months of your administration to put us in the best position to succeed from month one of the new administration? It's not about you. You are the center of no universe. It's about those folks that are struggling each and every day to live in a place that right now is not cheap to live. And the angst and anxiety when we hear about we don't have a clear picture of where we are fiscally, you are doing your constituents a disservice. I guess the only thing I can say at this point in time is, wake up! We'll be right back.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Folks, this particular report that is entitled Heterogeneous Effects of Closing the Digital Divide During COVID-19 on Student Engagement and Achievement. Some of the expectations, it says, since the dawn of the Internet age, optimists have argued that the increased penetration of K-12 education with technological tools could boost rates of student learning and reduce stubbornly large educational inequities. Computers, tablets, smartphones, high-speed internet access might facilitate a more personalized educational experience whereby students engage in more enjoyable educational experiences that better fit their specific preferences, more readily access information, and individualized support from a myriad of resources, more easily collaborate and connect with other students in other places, receive more frequent feedback on their progress. The report says that, but in a decade since, a less sanguine set of possibilities has emerged. And Adam Tyner, PhD, from the National Research Director at the Fordham Institute, joins us to explain just exactly what this means. Adam, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, great to be back with you, Neil. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, Adam, this paper really kind of intrigued me because it kind of touches on the surface of things that we want to believe and had believed for a number of years, but it seems as though the outcomes may not be readily apparent. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's right. Just by way of kind of clarifying, I didn't do this research, but I'm a researcher at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, and we review research. This research was conducted by some Chicago-based researchers, and it's been making the rounds. A lot of people have been talking about this work because what they did is they looked at the introduction of Wi-Fi hotspots for students during the pandemic, and they used a lot of controls and tried to find out what was the effect of giving students Wi-Fi during that time. We can remember back to early 2020 and the schools were closed and we were trying to figure out how to get students online. And Chicago had a program later that year to try to, it was in the summer of 2020, so for the following school year, to try to get more students access so that they would be able to engage with school. And I actually advocated for this kind of stuff at the time because students didn't have a way to do their schoolwork in the spring of 2020, and it was a big problem. But what the researchers found was that the effect of being given Wi-Fi was actually a small negative effect on grades and on other measures of student engagement. It was actually slightly negative. It's kind of a small effect, so I don't want to overstate it, but what's also interesting about it is that the effect was, and you said the kind of technical title there, heterogeneities in the effects. It was heterogeneous. That means it affected students differently depending on the student. And in this case, they looked at whether the students were initially higher performing or initially lower performing students. And the students who were initially lower performing, this really exacerbated their situation. It gave them, they ended up with lower grades and lower measures of engagement. And the students who were at the higher end of the spectrum initially, those students did just as well or a little bit better. Again, the effects are kind of small, but I think the reason why people are talking about this so much is that we're all kind of sensing that technology is not always good. They call it a double-edged sword in the report. And I mean, I think it's kind of even more banal than that. It's just like, we know that technology is not always good. And in an educational context, it's not always good. And the effects are going to be different for different students. And there's just, unfortunately, a lot of evidence that some misuses of technology and some types of technology are exacerbating the educational inequities that we are unfortunately witnessing in our country.
Is it safe to say that the vast majority of low-performing students, typically we find a less disciplined approach to education, and that when you add these technological tools on top of it, I think technology heightens the necessity for discipline, right? And how you use it, how you go about doing it, because it can be a major distraction, and it gives you access to all kinds of things that have nothing to do with your education.
Well, you know, Newell, there's a broader pattern here since we've seen the uptake of a lot of new technologies in the last, really in the last 10 or 15 years. We've seen the performance of the highest performing students has either been kind of consistently high or gone up. The lower performing students were going up for a long time. That early, era of No Child Left Behind under George W. Bush, and we passed a lot of testing and a lot of other school accountability reforms. We saw the lowest performing students, their achievement going up for quite a few years after that. And then we've really seen it either level off or really since the pandemic just drop off a cliff. There's been a lot lower, the lower performers are doing a lot worse. And one theory about that is that it is the pervasive technology that students now have cell phones, right? They didn't have those back in the early 2000s. They didn't have smartphones. Middle schoolers, nobody had smartphones then. And middle schoolers wouldn't get those, for another 10 years or so. And it's during that period when we start to see this decline. And that is a theory that this is having that effect more broadly in the country.
Which, I guess, has led many school boards across the country to begin to restrict access to their phones during the course of instruction of a school day.
That's right. That is a new thing that has really caught fire in the last couple of years. I think people are starting to see that whatever benefits there are for students having access to a cell phone in school are almost always outweighed by the costs of distraction and other problems that cell phones create in schools. And so we've seen a lot of states and districts moving to ban cell phones. I think in Louisiana, you guys had a cell phone ban beginning this last school year. And that's definitely something that has been a national trend. Jonathan Haidt, the famous psychologist, had a book last year called The Anxious Generation that a lot of people, I think it got a lot of people talking about all of the negatives for young people interacting with social networking and having access to smartphones all the time. And so it definitely goes beyond just this, this finding in this study. There's a broader question about how should young people be using technology? When is it good for them? And when does the harm outweigh the cost?
Is there one thing, as I read through the study, one of the things that struck me is there wasn't a lot of conversation about the training of students on the best ways to utilize technology. There are some that are very technologically savvy. It comes natural. I mean, my granddaughter's like that. In fact, she resolves all of my problems on my cell phone. When I have a problem, I give her my phone. And it magically starts working again. But is that part of what may be driving this, this growing delta between high-performing students and low-performing students?
Yeah, I think you're right that there's a lot of advantages to being tech savvy. So we don't want to, keep kids away from all technology forever. But I think that there's the differences between higher and lower performing. And I think that you're right. You said something about discipline earlier. You're right. Students who have impulse control issues, who aren't having much parental supervision, or, you know, we're talking about middle schoolers in this study. There's 80,000 middle schoolers that they're looking at in Chicago. And by middle school, there's some students who have had a pretty decent experience in school and have learned a lot of the fundamentals in elementary school, and other students who are finding themselves really disengaged at that point. And I think that you're absolutely right that it's discipline, it's how much background kind of, you know, academic fundamentals that you've mastered, and, you know, whether your parents are involved, whether they're paying attention to what you're doing with the technology, those are all going to be big influencers of over whether you're using technology in a way that's helpful or it's harmful. I totally buy that.
It's going to be, I don't know about you. I mean, you deal with this every day, but my curiosity's peaked as to what the detrimental impact or effect may be as a result of AI and the utilization of same, where, you know, a lot of your planning and the way you're going to approach certain things, the way you study this, that, or otherwise, and how that's going to be influenced as younger kids become more and more adept to that technology and begin to utilize it more.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard a lot of kind of huge promises from technology companies over the last few decades about how this technology was going to, you know, change schools, and this other thing was going to, you know, make it so much easier to personalize learning and have a tutor for every student. And I think we're finally actually to the point where, to some extent, you can get a tutor for every student. But I think one thing that we ignore at our peril is that the student has to see a good reason to want to be tutored. If it's kind of optional, right? If they could use their technology however they want, it depends a little bit on their motivation and whether or not they really are going to spend their time on using Khan Academy's program, AI program that will help them to learn different math or English or history content, and will kind of be that personalized tutor. If they want to spend their time doing that, and if they see a good reason why, hey, I need to, you know, I've got a test coming up and I'm going to use this platform to study up for it, then that's going to be really beneficial. But if they don't really see any good reason to do that, if no one's really holding them accountable and they're not real intrinsically motivated, then they may not use those technologies. And I think that, you know, just thinking that technology will be the solution, I think, is wrong. It will help the students who are motivated, but the unmotivated students, they're probably just going to use it to play video games, or, you know, when it comes to AI, they may use it to cheat, or they may use it to, you know, to kind of skate through. And I think that's a big risk. And, you know, homework, for example, just in the last 2 years, the value proposition of homework has completely changed, because we used to say, you know, you need to practice it at home and then we'll check it when you get to school. Now, literally, a student can just take a picture of their homework, whether it's a math worksheet or really almost any homework, and AI will solve it for them. And so we really have to think differently about the way that we assign homework and the way that we hold students accountable in an age where computers can do so much of student schoolwork.
I have a feeling that this study that we've been talking about is going to serve as an impetus for a lot more study in this field. Your thoughts real quick.
I sure hope so. And, you know, on AI, you know, it's the AI is so powerful now that, you know, it would be remiss for us not to mention that it's just going to, beyond schoolwork, it's going to change the nature of so many people's jobs and, you know, make so many jobs obsolete that it makes us question what students should be studying. I think we're going to have a lot more questions about all of that over the coming years.
Absolutely. Adam Tyner, thank you so much for joining us. National Research Director at the Fordham Institute. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Yeah, my pleasure, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Folks, there's a lot going on. The news cycles are buzzing, right, as it relates to tariffs. And we're going to talk and hopefully dig deep into that with Guy Williams in noon hour. He's the president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He joins us every Monday. We'll also talk about mortgage refinance opportunities and real ID for airline travel, where we stand with that as well. And coming up at 11, we'll visit with Dr. William Wainwright, president of Southeastern University. We'll get an update as to the state of Southeastern. And Mark Earhart joins us about consumption and news. Where is it coming from? Who's on a rise? Who's on a decline? And do people trust in the media any longer? There's a lot of different stories and news cycles. And, you know, we will continue to talk about a bunch of them. Some that are coming up that we hope to have some guests on about. There's new research on testing for marijuana, like they test for alcohol, to see whether or not you are impaired. There's some breaking news on that issue. They can test blood. They can test saliva. Now they are very close to testing breath, and we'll see what the implications of that will be as well. And we've got some more folks that we want to bring on about education, about where we stand. I thought this article that Adam Tyner talked about was really, really interesting, because it really kind of squelched a belief that we've had for a long, long time that it would reduce that delta between low-performing and high-performing students. And to the contrary, it doesn't look like it did at all. Of course, there's a need for additional testing there. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.